Father, we come before you. Thank you so much for the salvation that you bring to us. Thank you, Father, for the love that you've shed upon us, for the Holy Spirit that you've put within our hearts to lead us and guide us, to teach us and to show us all your truth, Father. I just pray for your anointing upon me tonight and upon your word. And again, Father, help us to speak exactly what you would have us to speak. And I just thank you for the way you're going to speak to our hearts tonight and change lives here tonight, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight is one of those nights. I'm going to do my best to stick to my notes as much as possible, but I have so much going on in my head that I'd like to say, even sitting up here in the front row, I was still writing things down. God's still giving me more and more and more on this. But like I said, we're going to try our best to get to the very meat of this tonight and stick to what God's laid upon our heart. I want you to go ahead and turn with me back to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to reread our text. And while you're turning there, I want to share a couple of things with you that God did share with me while I was sitting there before during the service. First of all, we need to give out of love and thanksgiving. And I said this morning, you know, the first step to obeying God is being saved. Or if you're not saved, you can give all the money you want to give. And the principle does work. Tithing is not just a spiritual principle. Or let me back up. It's not just a biblical principle. I've heard a lot of people in the secular world talk about giving to different organizations, and they say the more you give, the more it comes back to you. But folks, when it comes to God, we need to give because we love Him, and you cannot love Him if He's not your Savior. So that's key. You've got to have that right where it needs to be. We also need to give out of a heart of thanksgiving. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver, or somebody that's thankful is cheerful. And then we need to receive with a grateful heart. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit more. But when we give, and when we tithe, and when we give, we know there's a harvest coming, and we need to receive it with a grateful heart and be ready to use it the way that God wants us to. And if we give God all of ourselves, guess what happens? Our billfold comes with it. When we give God our entire life, it's nothing. Let me not say it that way. Let me say it's easy to give of our money. When you stop and think about what Jesus Christ has purchased for you on the cross of Calvary, you're not going to be able to give Him enough money. You're not going to be able to give Him enough of your time. You're not going to be able to give Him enough service and enough love. We want to give and give and give and give because of what He's done for us. So when we give God all of ourselves, then it's going to be easy to give our money, and because we know it's going to do great things. And one other thing that God just shared with me, I told you I'm going to try to stick to my notes. We may not make that. If you have a hang-up about money, let me share this with you. Get over it. We could not have built the new building we have out here without finances. We could not do the ministry that God has called us to do without finances. The more finances we have, the more ministry we can do. And if you read about Jesus and His disciples, they had an abundance of finances. They had so much money that Judas was a thief and he was stealing out of the bag, and they still had more than enough to do the ministry that they were called to do. So we've got to get over being hung up on money. I don't know if anybody is here or not, but if you are, money is just a tool. That's all it is. If we went out here and we was going to dig a ditch, we could either use a spoon, a shovel, or one of Ronnie's backhoes. I vote for Ronnie's backhoe. That's it, the same way it is with finances. God's given us a ministry. We can use pennies, quarters, dollars, or $100 bills. Well, we could eventually get the ditch dug with a spoon if we had long enough. And folks, we could eventually get things done with the money that we have. But if God could bless us with more, we could do so much more with Him. So that's why we're talking about the blessing of the tithe, is where we can be a blessing to others. And I read this morning that God gives us all grace to have all sufficiency that we might do to every good work, is the way that verse says it. So that's what it's all about. Okay, Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 8 again. And again, this is God talking. He said, "Will a man rob me? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you?" And God says, "In tithe and offerings." Now, let me stop right here for a second. After this morning, you cannot ever claim ignorance again about being a thief of God, about robbing God. I think I made it very clear this morning, if you don't tithe, God says you're a robber. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. So if you got a qualm with him on that, you need to go to him. Verse 9 says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Verse 10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house." Now, let me stop right there. One thing I wanted to say this morning, and I didn't. When we bring our tithes into the storehouse, we need to give our entire tithe on Sunday morning to the church. The other things we have going on, like the Wild Horse Ministry that we've got going on, when we have like a youth fundraiser, when we have support for a missionary, when we have like a singing group come, that is above and beyond your tithe. God is very explicit that the tithe goes into the storehouse, and then the rest of that is offering. He goes on in verse 10 and says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, when we ended this morning, we were talking about the fact that God is moved by our deeds and not our needs. And it took me quite a while to be able to grasp that and then to get my spiritual thinking around that. Because for some reason, I grew up thinking God was moved by my needs. Well, he's moved by our deeds. And if you study the Word of God, you will see that. And I gave you some examples of that this morning. And as I was preparing for this message, I got to thinking, some of us are probably thinking of the verse over in Philippians 4:19, where it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And that seems to contradict what I just said, doesn't it? That seems to say that God is moved by our need. But we have to look at this in the context of chapter 4 of Philippians. So I want us to go back and look at verses 14 through 17, and we're going to see that there's more to this verse than just what meets the eye there. In verse 14 of chapter 4 of Philippians, Paul said, "Notwithstanding you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And then verse 19, "Therefore God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We have to understand that verse in the context of where it was written. If you read those verses like I just did, it's very easy to see that verses 14, 15, 16, 17 is talking about the church in Philippi had given to Paul's ministry once and again and again and again. And therefore, Paul knew that they would receive. They had given to the ministry. They had done what God said. They had made sure that there was meat in his house. And he even said there was no other church that communicated with him concerning giving and receiving. So right there, he explains to them that there's going to be both. And he said, "You did it once and again." And in verse 17, he says that he doesn't desire a gift, but he desires fruit that can go into their account. What is that? That's the harvest. That's the reaping that Paul wants them to have. So we see that their needs are going to be met because they were taking care of the ministry. So we've got to make sure that, you know, that it talks about that over in Malachi chapter 3, again right here. Make sure there is meat in God's house provision to fulfill the ministry, then God is going to take care of our needs. Now, one thing that I always run into when I'm talking to somebody about tithing is I always run into somebody who says, well, I just can't afford to tithe. Well, folks, let me make two statements here. First of all, you can't afford not to tithe.
Amen.
The tithe puts God's blessings on your side. And we've been talking about that. Second of all, that's kind of like, if you say, I can't afford to tithe, that's kind of like saying, I've only got one package of corn seed left. Well, if you eat that corn seed, you're going to die in about 3 or 4 days. Because that's all you're going to have. But if you plant that corn seed, and you water it, and you cultivate it, and you take care of it, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have a crop. You're going to have a harvest. You're going to be able to reap off of that. So let me put it to you this way. Don't eat your seed. Don't eat your seed. You know, the Bible talks a whole lot about first fruits. We need to make sure that the tithe is the first thing that we give to God. Like I said this morning, the tithe already belongs to God. We need to make sure that He gets that, period. Because we've got to plant that seed. And I will share this with you. 90% of a blessed income will go a whole lot further than 100% of an unblessed income. Most people see tithing as 100% minus 10%. Well, folks, that's further from the truth that it could possibly be. It's not 100% minus 10%. It's 90% times God. Again, remember we talked this morning about trusting God is the key to being able to give Him the tithe and the offerings. So we've got to make sure that we have a clear perspective. It's not subtraction, it's multiplication. And I'm going to give you some examples here in just a few minutes about my mom and dad when I was growing up and in our own life. Tithing has helped us so many times. When the money wasn't there, God multiplied it and made it show up. If we hadn't tithed, we would have been in big, big, big trouble. So you got to look at it that way. It's 90% times God. Now, I do want to share a few things with you that I have witnessed with mom and dad, and again, I want to share some with you from our own experience. But mom and dad taught us how to tithe. Parents, we need to teach our kids how to tithe. When I was young, mom and dad gave me a checkbook. I say gave, you know, I had the checkbook, but they made sure they taught me how to do that too. And they paid us for working on the farm, and they made sure that we paid our tithe to the church. Now, I'll admit this. In the very beginning, I didn't want to do it. I thought mom and dad were throwing my money away. I didn't realize they were setting me up where God could really bless me. But I didn't understand it in the beginning. In fact, I didn't understand it for probably a few years after Diana and I got married. But mom and dad taught me how to tithe, and we need to teach our kids that every time they get a dollar, 10 cents does not belong to them. That already belongs to God. So we've got to start teaching them that. I said, mom and dad, tithe. They tithe off of the gross amount. A lot of times people argue over the gross versus the net. Folks, it's the gross. What does the government tax you on? The gross. That's what your income is. Your income is the gross. Now, I understand, you know, if you've got your own business, you have to take expenses and that kind of stuff off. But it is still the gross amount that you bring home is what we've got to learn to tithe off of. Mom and dad didn't always have a great excess, but God always met their needs. And the reason that God always met their needs was that they took care of the financial needs of the church. They supported missionaries. They made sure that God's house was well taken care of, and God always met their needs. In fact, I was talking to Mom about this the other night, and I asked her, said, how was it that you guys made it through from time to time? Because I knew at times things got really, really tight. But they never quit tithing. And she said it was because we learned how to rely on God, and God met the need. So, folks, that again goes back to that trusting. Now, after several years, some of the most unbelievable things that I've ever seen start happening to mom and dad. And this isn't bragging on mom and dad other than the fact that they took their tithe and put it where it was supposed to go. In fact, they gave beyond their tithe. Like I said, they supported missionaries. They gave to the church every time they could. And some of the most incredible things started happening. Any of you here ever raised twin calves? Okay. Well, on the farm, we had twin calves. Very seldom did you get both twins to live because the mother would usually abandon one and just take the other one. And you either had to bottle feed them, and that second one was always weak and, you know, just struggled and didn't make it. So if you had a 50% that lived, I don't know, 50% of the twins that lived, you're doing good. Well, one year when we was on the farm up at Evansville, out of 75 mama cows, we had 10 sets of twins, and they all lived. Folks, that's unheard of. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, yeah, that's the blessing of God. That's double profit with no more expense. God knew that mom and dad had a need at that time, and he blessed them in that regard. And the neighbors around there, when they kept hearing us talking about we got twins, and they kept saying, well, how many are you losing? And when we kept telling them, none, they were amazed. Because like I said, that in the natural world does not happen. Mom and dad also made some incredible financial deals. And some people will call this luck. Some people will call it coincidence. But folks, if you study the Bible, there is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as coincidence. To give you one idea of the financial deals that mom and dad made, mom and dad bought cancer insurance for dad. They made one payment, and then they found cancer in dad. All they made was one payment, and the cancer insurance company paid mom over $20,000 to go toward dad's cancer medical expenses. Again, some people say, well, what a coincidence. No, the favor of God. That is the open windows of heaven. That is the pressed down, shaken together, and running over that God promised us if we'll do what he told us to do. We have to tithe. We have to give offerings. We have to believe him and trust him. And it will, those things, kind of things will show up when we need them to show up. Now, in our own life, let me give you one example that most everybody here is familiar with. And again, I'm giving God all of the praise for this. When we started to move down here, I moved in March. Diana and Amy were not coming until August. I asked the church if I could buy a travel trailer, put it out back, and live in it till Diana and Amy got here. And I was talking to Brother Johnny about that at the time. He said, well, let me talk to the church and I'll get back with you. I thought, oh boy, there may be a problem on putting a travel trailer back there. What are we going to do? Because, you know, I still had a house I was paying for up there and all the utilities and everything. And I said, okay, God, this is your deal. You've called us down here. We're putting this over into your court. Well, Johnny called me back either the next day or the day after, and he said, the church does not want to put a trailer behind the house, but we have rented you a house. I thought, wow. I was expecting to live in a trailer, but God gave us a 3-bedroom house with the rent paid for. And some of you that were here, you might be thinking, well, God didn't do that. We did. Yes, Center Point was the instrument that God used, but folks, have no doubt about it. God did that. Amen. God absolutely did that, and I give him the praise for it. And there's just been time after time after time that God has done things like that for us. The Bible, and I read this verse this morning, where it says, give and men shall give unto you. Again, that's a law. That has to happen. If you tithe and then you give, men have to give to you because the Bible says that they will. The first time that ever happened to us, I was working in the bank. Excuse me, and I was back in the break room. The church treasurer came in, and it was strange for her to come into the break room. I mean, she came into the bank all the time, but as far as I know, she had never been in the break room before. She said, I need to give you this envelope. Well, we were the youth ministers, and I thought somebody sent us a note or, you know, whatever. I opened it up, and there was ten $100 bills in there. Boy, I wish it was ten $1,000 bills. That'd been great. I was stunned. I'd never had anything like that in my life. I even chased her down. She was already back out in the parking lot. And I said, Laverne, What's this all about? And she said, somebody wanted to bless you. Well, that's exactly what Luke 6:38 says. Give and it, and men shall give back unto you. Now, folks, when we give, we need to give, like I said earlier, because we love God. But there's nothing wrong that when you sow, that you start looking for the harvest. Because the Bible says that he who promised is faithful. I promise you, those of you that grow a garden, when you plant the seed, you keep looking out there to see if that seed's coming up. Same thing in the spiritual realm. If we plant seed, there's nothing wrong with watching the seed as it comes forth. Again, we've got to receive it with a grateful heart. We can't have pride and arrogance and say, you know, I knew it was coming. God owed it to me. Well, God didn't owe it to you, but out of his word, he promised it to you. So we need to be watching for it and expecting it and looking for it. I want to give you a word of caution here, and some of this we talked about a little bit this morning. But when it comes to your giving, not your tithing, because like I said earlier this morning and again tonight, your tithe goes to the church. That already belongs to God. But when it comes down to your giving, you need to make sure that you're hearing from God. You need to make sure that you're being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You do not have to give to every need that comes along. We need to be praying and asking God, where do you want this seed to go? We need to make sure that we are putting it in good, fertile soil. I know I've had some dealings with a group from up in Alma. You may know them by name. I won't call them by name. And I know people that used to send their good money to them, and they were nothing but a scam using God as a cover. Well, folks, we've got to be careful that we're giving our money where it needs to go, and therefore we need to be very sensitive to the Spirit, and we need to always be led by God where and when to give it. Just because you have money in your pocket and somebody else needs it does not mean that's the place that it should go. So we've got to be very, very sensitive to that. And once you start sowing, keep on sowing. And you may say, well, the harvest is coming in. Why do I need to keep on sowing? Well, when you quit sowing, guess what? The harvest is going to eventually quit. So we've got to keep on sowing. And you will probably never understand how it works. I don't understand how it works to this day. Yeah, as far as the planting corn seed or wheat seed, you know, I understand the process that has to go through, but I really don't understand how all that works. But that does not keep me from eating the corn that grows up out of the ground. Same way with our spiritual seeds. We may not ever understand how this works. We just need to know that it does work. And to be blessed the way God wants us to be blessed, we have to follow his guidelines. And I praise God that he put the guidelines in black and white for us, and he made it so simple. If you will study Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12, and really get a grasp on that, that will change your life forever. That is so powerful what God told us right there. And there's much, much more in the Bible about tithing, but if you'll start right there, you're going to have a good, basic understanding. I want to just go back as we close. I'm going to ask Diana if she would to come to the piano. I want to just go back over some of the promises that Malachi 3:8 talked about briefly. These are the promises that God's made to the tither. He has promised to open the windows of heaven. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when somebody opens the windows, they are slung wide open, where it's open to see into and things can freely flow out of. He has promised to rebuke the devourer for our sake. We don't have to worry about everything that we're doing because God said if we tithe, he will rebuke the devourer for us. He has promised to meet our every need. In fact, he actually goes beyond that. He promises to make sure that we have enough so that we can help others with their needs. And we as Christians definitely have a ministry there. He also promises to us that men will give back to us and won't just give back to us. I don't know about you, but I get excited about the way God puts it. He says men will give back to us pressed down, shaken together, and still running over. Folks, that talks about God's abundance for us. And does that mean we're all going to be multi-millionaires? No, but it does mean if we do what God tells us to, we're going to always have more than enough. We're always going to have some excess. And the reason we're going to is because He blesses us according to His riches in glory. His riches. What is riches? Riches is more than enough. Riches is excess. And this says that He's going to bless us and meet our needs according to His riches. Not according to the world's economy. Not according to our own economy. But according to His riches. And if you'll study the Bible, a good example, I believe it was Jacob. Even in famine, God blessed him with 100-fold. Even in famine. What was a famine? A famine was economic hard times. Folks, even in hard times, if we will commit to being a tither, God will see us through because we're relying on Him, because we're obeying Him, because we're trusting Him. We as Christians should never have a sleepless night over finances. Our church should never struggle over finances. And I'll put it to you this way. If the people in our church, if everybody in our church, let me put it that way, tithe, we would have more than enough to pay off our building and do everything else that we need to do. I think that the averages here at Centerpoint are higher than most churches. I've never looked at the books, never will look at the books as far as who tithes and who doesn't. But just from knowing people, I believe the percentages are a lot higher. But it has been proven that only about 12 to 13% of the average Christian church tithes. Folks, that tells me there's only 12 to 13% of us that really believe God. The other 87 or 88% do not trust God and do not believe God. And like I said this morning, I would have a hard time with you trying to convince me that you cannot trust God with your money, but you can trust Him with your soul. I cannot even fathom seeing that happening. So this is so crucial. This is so important. God wants to bless us. He wants us to live a life that can be a blessing to others. In fact, when He blessed Abraham, He said, "You will be a blessing to many nations." God wants us to be a blessing to those around us. But we can't be if we don't have enough love, if we don't have enough mercy, if we don't have enough finances, enough time, enough compassion. God wants us to be a giver in all of these areas that we can have a harvest and we can give back. That's what this is all about. It's not God blessing us so we can hoard it up. You know, the world says, and if I can remember how this goes, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Well, as Christians, we don't do that. We ought to get all we can to God's glory and give all we can. Give all we can. We can always give more. And it just amazes me, the more we give, the more God gives back to us. But that's His word, isn't it? That's the sowing and the reaping. That's the seed time and harvest. You can, again, you can go out in the field and put out 2 or 3 ears of kernels of corn, and you're going to get a stalk with ears of corn and hundreds of kernels on there. I don't even know how many. So it's always multiplied. But we have to do it God's way. I want to ask you to stand and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before You. I thank You that You loved us so much that You didn't just bring us salvation to save our souls. But Father, You brought the blessing upon us. Your word tells us that the blessing is upon us. And Father, You tell us over in Deuteronomy that the blessing is just not upon us, but it has overtaken us. And Father, we need to get that concept in our minds. We need to trust You. We need to rely upon You. We need to give our tithe because that already belongs to You. And then we need to learn how to give above and beyond our tithe so that You can bless us, so that we can be a blessing to others. And Father, I just pray tonight, if You've spoken to hearts, and there's a need that someone needs to bring before you, that you'll give them the courage to do that right now. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.